Good afternoon. This is Paul Kelly. I'm your host on today's Speak Up Arkansas. Spring has always been a time to reconnect with the force and beauty of nature and consider things to plant and grow. If you have ever thought about growing your own food in your backyard or participating in a community garden, now's the time before the heat of summer sets in. You can eat healthy food or surround yourself with beautiful flowers, get good exercise, save some money, and maybe even produce a little income. So today I'm surrounded in the studio by people who think about, know about, and do backyard gardening and community gardening. Lucky for all of us in the studio today, the rain and Mother Nature is taking care of all the gardens out there, while we can sit here and share thoughts and experiences with something that has become a way to sustain ourselves and our communities. With me today is Alexander Henfinger from the Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance, Nancy Doctor with Great Day Natural Produce, Vic Ford with the UA Division of Agriculture and Cooperative Extension Service, and Ben Hood, who's a gardener and a member of the Promise Garden at 12th and Peyton here in Little Rock. I'm expecting Bo Bennett from the Central Arkansas New Agrarian Society, and we'll hear from Neil Seeley later in the program, a backyard gardener and host of KABF's Community Voices. Thank all of you all for being here and for sharing your expertise. I want to encourage everyone, remind you that you can call here at, this is a live program. You can call us at 501-433-0088. I'm going to try again. Maybe the weather's taken out the internet, so we can't be sending emails right now, but you can give us a call and ask questions. Again, 433-0088. So, Vic, can we start with you? I know the UA Division of Agriculture and the Cooperative Extension Service is probably a mainstay when it comes to talking about garden. I know that's where we send our, I think we send our dirt there and our in our bug problems and everything else. So, could you share with us what's going on there that you think might be of interest to the community?
You know, the University of Arkansas Cooperative Extension Service is involved in agriculture, natural resources, family consumer science, and 4-H. And all those interests have a part to play in terms of home gardening. In terms of being the Associate Director for Agriculture and Natural Resources, I'm interested in anything from a backyard garden to a large operation in the Delta who's growing cotton or corn or soybeans or grain sorghum or anything, any other agriculture enterprise. And we get involved a lot in what we refer to as specialty crops, which I referred to in the old days referred to as fruit and truck patches. So as a director there, we have several services that we offer home gardeners. And you mentioned one of our most popular services is the soil testing. We're responsible for soil testing. It's funded from people who buy fertilizers. And when that funds a lab, which is in Marianna, Arkansas, and the services are free. So it doesn't cost you anything to take a soil sample. You want to make sure you get a sample across your garden that you want to grow something. And you take those soil down to your county agent. If you're in Pulaski County, it's in the Pulaski County Extension Office. If you're in another county nearby, it depends on where you're at. You take it there. They'll box it up for you. Send it back in about 2 weeks. You'll have your samples back, and we'll give you an idea of important things like your pH of your soil. What plants can you grow? Are you going to have to add lime? What's your nutrient concentration? Are you going to have to add more compost or fertilizer or some other blood meal? Gives you an idea how much you're going to add back, by how much concentrations and what you're going to add. Gives you an idea when you're going to have problems, like with your tomato growers. One of the most common problems we have is blossom end blight. And bossum inbite is not caused by a fungus or a bacteria or an insect. It's caused by lack of calcium. So you get, being able to get in your soil test gives you an idea of what you're going to have from there. Also, if you look on the environmental side, it keeps people from over-fertilizing, which is a very problem in urban settings. In fact, I talked to people when I was working over in the Chesapeake Bay, and they said that the lawns and gardens of urbans were the worst polluters they had. So being able to take those and put the right amount that's going to make your fruits and vegetables grow well. And that's my recommendation on that. Also, we have services for disease and insect identification. We also have services if you have problems that you may not know about. A common problem in tomatoes and peppers is root knot nematode. And particularly if you have sandy soil, root knot nematode is a microscopic worm that will cause a gall in the roots of tomatoes. And a lot of the heirloom tomatoes that I love with the taste are not resistant to root knot nematode. So what we do is either have folks plant a root knot resistant variety, which I don't care for a lot of the taste of those varieties, or we graft a heirloom variety on a resistant rootstock. So that we also do testing for those. So we have an all kinds of service, an opportunity. The gateway is your county extension office.
All right. Well, and I know it's all about the dirt, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's you start with that and go from there. Nancy, I know you do gardening and have lots of the experience and even participating in something that would allow you to sell a few of them, so a few items here and there. So you want to share your experiences in gardening with us?
Well, I think I'm one of the gardening crazies that Vic deals with. We've established that. He knows who those people are. I think Ben might be one of those. We're kindred spirits. But I have loved plants and gardening ever since I was a child, but like a lot of people, I didn't really know. Sometimes something grew and sometimes it didn't. So I was fortunate to have the opportunity about 10 years ago to do 6 months of training that at least got me started in gardening here, which I think is challenging here in Central Arkansas because of the heat. But at any rate, you have an opportunity to garden year round here, which is what I have done now for about 10 years. And after I got the training, I sold produce locally for a couple of years, and I had to give it up to go back full-time to make a real living wage. But nonetheless, and then I've gotten back into it a year and a half. But I do it because I love it for so many reasons. And I think it's entirely possible for anyone who has gardened and has the will to do it, and really is, you really have to want to do it, to get out there and to do it. I don't think you have to go off like I did and get 6 months of training. There's lots of information on the internet. You can connect with the resources through like Extension Service. You can read books. You can, you know, connect with other gardeners and learn that way too. There are ways to do that. But I have found it very rewarding. I like being physically active. I like growing my own food. I always have vegetables year round. I enjoy the fun of selling it and knowing that, you know, people will buy from me, you know, just, that they like what I provide. It's very rewarding. And the beauty of gardens, I do believe that shared spaces or private spaces, for that matter, but spaces that are beautiful and provide a place of respite and also food, but just beautiful spaces. I mean, I'm just one of those people who believe that it's got a transformative aspect for all of us, no matter where we come from. It's a universal thing. And my garden keeps me in it too much rather than connecting with other gardeners, but I think that's an important aspect of it too. So I am interested in sharing what I know. I think by this time I'm safe to say I know more than somebody who's saying, gosh, I want to have a garden. You know, what do I do? Even though I'm confronted still and it never ends. Like, why did this happen? You know, what didn't work or what, you know, why did it work or whatever? But that's part of the fun of it, is the challenge and the new, you know, opportunities to try new things. So
Okay.
That's a little bit about me.
Well, Ben, while we're on the subject of gardening, I know you've got a not only a small garden yourself, but have worked with the Promise Garden here in Little Rock. And talk a little bit about your view of things as a gardener, and particularly in the community garden area.
Well, I'd like to say hello to everyone. my experience in gardening is to build a community and build the peoples in the community to get to know each other, to learn about your neighbor. And not only that, the greatest part of it is to be able to have vegetables and the fruits and things to be able to you always can afford it, because it just takes a little of your time, a little of your kids' time. You know, you can just unite in the garden. You can all life, all kinds of people. So I feel a garden is a connecting place for the betterment of our communities. And I feel being able to make yourself more healthy and to get the proper, to get a good, nice tomato or pepper and squash and the beautiful spinach we have now at the Promise Garden. So, and I just feel when we learn to love our neighbors and get along, I think it just, you may think someone is something that you couldn't get along with, but when you get in the garden and you start to work with the earth and you start to work with the plants and the little kids that have so many questions about gardening, I have just learned that in Little Rock, Arkansas, we have done well having the Dunbar Garden and the Children's Hospital Garden. You have the great peoples like Ben Polk and Jimmy, and you just got a world of all of us, Nancy, and all of us out here to take time. And the greatest thing about it, it's affordable. You don't have to worry about bringing a tool. In most cases, you learn not to plant on a rock, but plant in the soil. So it's just a good connecting place. You know, you see kids just get excited about pulling carrots out of the ground and learning where things come from. Being there to learn to communicate with each other. And I think the garden is one of the greatest parks and important parts of our neighborhood for us to lay it all down, unite together, and eat healthy.
Wow, that's what a testimony. That's great, Ben. And reminding you, you're listening to Speak Up Arkansas. You can give us a call here at 501-433-0088. All right. Well, Alex, the Hunger Relief Alliance, I know you're involved in keeping people fed and helping them get healthy, affordable food. What's your perspective on this idea of doing your own backyard or with a community involved?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks so much for having me. And just as Ben was saying, gardening can actually be a really affordable way for people to be able to get healthy, fresh produce into their diets. We know that in Arkansas, we have one of the highest rates of food insecurity in the nation. And then we also have one of the highest rates of obesity. And a lot of people, you know why that is. It's because healthy foods are often the most expensive. You know, if you go to the grocery store, some of that healthy, fresh produce is going to be, you know, the most expensive. And we have a lot of places in Arkansas, you know, that we call food deserts, where there may not even be access to affordable, healthy food. And so in rural areas, you know, folks might not live close to a grocery store. And so we see people driving 30, 40 miles to the closest grocery store. And so a lot of people in rural areas are doing a lot of their grocery shopping at gas stations and convenience stores, which we all know doesn't typically have the best selection of fresh options. And then even in Little Rock, even in the city, you know, you can go to a Kroger in the Heights and a Kroger on Roosevelt Road, and the selection of produce is going to differ greatly. You know, so you can even live near a grocery store, and that grocery store might not have a lot of fresh, affordable produce. So gardening is a great way to do that. A lot of people don't realize that SNAP, which is the new name for food stamps, that your SNAP benefits can actually be used to purchase seeds for you to take home and garden. And then at the Hunger Relief Alliance, we have our Cooking Matters program, which, you know, specifically when people get those fresh fruits and vegetables, if they don't always know what to do with them, our Cooking Matters program empowers families by teaching them how to cook and shop for healthy foods on a budget. So we love gardening.
Right. All right. I think those are really important points, particularly the issue about it being affordable. I know, you know, I started out probably gardening with one plant and watched closely and saw what happened or didn't happen and then moved on and on and on. But I really relate to what Ben said. We're just working in alongside with other people in your neighborhood in a garden can really be a meaningful experience. Does anybody want to add anything to, again, you're listening to Speak Up Arkansas. You can give us a call here at 501-433-0088. We're talking about community gardening and the ability of just the practice to put you in a position of appreciating the earth, the nature, realizing healthy food, and also being able to produce food for your family.
You know, we talk about the healthy benefits, but there's also social benefits to gardening. And I'm sitting here thinking about with my parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents sitting around and peeling apples, peeling peaches, capping strawberries, picking blackberries and processing blackberries from the wild. You know, doing those kinds of things, being able to come back and have that social interaction. A lot of us, we miss that social interaction. I say we missed the front porch. Everybody remembers when everybody had a front porch and you'd talk to your neighbors and you'd get anything. We've sort of gotten away from that front porch and gotten away from sitting in the shade tree in the yard and processing our food. I wonder how many of our young people would benefit from having sit down with an older folks and shell some peas.
Right.
We have really enjoyed having the mix of young kids mm-hmm. and the senior citizen, and like we do the Cooking Matters there and interface lighting, teaching about the lighting situations and how to cook with different kinds of devices, mm-hmm. And we travel all over trying to help get garden boxes started, you know, at a little old mother's house that can't get out to do herbs like everybody else, you know. So I think us all being bun together is the beautiful garden that we have. And I say hats off to Little Rock for really, and I want to say Pratt Rimble that really led me and Judy Bryant into Dunbar Garden. And just appreciate all those healthy-minded people. And it do take a little work. And you're talking about a school program, after-school program. I feel like the summer program, we should bond together to bring our kids that really don't have anything to do and let them work in some of these gardens, let them know about how to make money in the garden, you know, at Dunbar and stuff, and the Promise Garden, we can show you how to gather the eggs and what to do with the eggs and things. So, and sometimes just go and find a neighbor that's down and out and carry them something good, so I feel that we all a team, and I feel like we can build a great community for Little Rock.
And again, you're listening to Speak Up Arkansas. If this is the kind of community you want, and this is something you'd like to sink your teeth into or at least entertain as an idea or share with others, give us a call. Tell us what your experiences have been with gardening. I know I've talked to people who have tried it and didn't like it, and lots of people who remember what it was like, particularly, I think, the point about I remember shelling peas and everything else. Of course, I had a family of 14 children, and we all had to do a little bit of everything. But going through the drive-through doesn't connect you to the food that is probably the most important thing that you put in your body. So it really is an important connection. So if I got any believers out there who share that, share your story. You can just give us a call here. Be a part of this. 501-433-0088.
Just talking about the going to the drive-in. I call this the McDonald's type America, because when you go to the store, even when you go to the store, it's a certain variety. How many people know that the bananas we get is one variety of the banana called a Kavanaugh, because it's susceptible to a virus. We're one virus mutation for not having bananas. We grew a variety of, a lot of my friends when I was growing up, and when I went to college, I would bring yellow tomatoes in, and they didn't know what a yellow tomato was. What's that ugly thing that you're getting ready to eat? Well, it's a tomato. No, tomatoes are red. Or how many people have eaten a purple carrot? And carrots' natural color are white, not orange. And we've selected for those characteristics that we get. A lot of different kind of vegetables, variety of beans, a variety of different peppers, variety of anything, is that with the taste that we get from gardening, we are able to choose a wide variety of textures and taste that we cannot buy anywhere. Yeah. I know people who don't like broccoli would eat the fresh broccoli I grew because it didn't taste like broccoli they got had at the store.
Right.
So being able to have that variety I always go back. I stayed a lot with an aunt that had a milk cow, and she would make homemade cottage cheese. Well, she's ruined me for life. I cannot eat cottage cheese from the store because of the homemade cottage cheese. So that's kind of what I am with some of these vegetables. I hate tomatoes in the wintertime. They just don't taste. But I still remember picking a Mr. Stripey type tomato from the garden, or one of those really nice pink tomatoes, large pink tomatoes, and remembering how well they tasted from that. So you mentioned McDonald's had reminded me about, I call it the standardization. You know, what we buy sometimes is made to grow and to ship, not to eat.
Right. Yeah, and just to, reiterate on that, that's why it's so important to be introducing children to a variety of fruits and vegetables early in life, because that's really when, our taste buds are forming. And if you introduce it to them, we've seen so many times, doing a cooking class with kids and making it a game out of, trying all these fruits and vegetables, and, and they take them home and start demanding the stuff from their parents, and can actually change the diets of their whole families that way. So, and kids, we see gardening as hard work, as labor. Kids think it's a lot of fun. You're outside and rolling around in the dirt and getting messy and stuff, and getting to see where food comes from. So, getting kids out in the garden and starting them young is, can really lead to, better behavior and diet over the whole rest of their life.
So. Yeah. Can people talk about perhaps where folks might go to find out about local community gardens? I know you mentioned several of them, Ben, and is there a network of entities that may be able to point somebody there?
Sure. So I also serve on the board of the Arkansas Local Food Network, and they, for a couple of years, published what they call their Fresh Local Foods Directory. Which is an entire online directory of different school and community gardens all across the state, especially here in Little Rock. And in the past few years, the Arkansas Times has partnered with the Department of Ag to publish Arkansas Grown, which I believe is a biannual publication. It comes out in the spring and the fall, and that's also got restaurants that use local food and different gardens around town as well. So both of those are really great resources.
Regarding Promise Garden, Jimmy Parks, who's very involved, and I'm sure Ben would feel this way too, about being a contact if people out there want to get involved with the Promise Garden. And his number is 501-773-8655. And then Ben Pope is the gardener at a community garden over by Children's Hospital. And it serves a food pantry over there. And he's there a lot, I don't know how many days a week, at least part of the day. And then I think on Tuesdays there's a volunteer, as a volunteer day. So you can, if you go by there, you'll ultimately connect with Ben, and he definitely welcomes community involvement, and it's a wonderful garden too. So those are two right there that are really thriving that would be great to be part of.
And that's a good way to learn by doing. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, so if that's something you just want to try to see, that's a good way to go do it. And
yeah, and if starting your own, if you're not feeling quite ready to start your own garden at home, the Hungry Leaf Alliance actually has a couple of gardens ourselves. We run a garden in the Western Hills Park out in southwest Little Rock. And there, it's a hunger relief garden. So we grow cabbages and potatoes and turnips specifically to be donated to food pantries across the state. And so if you're ever interested in getting involved in that, we also have a watermelon crawl in the middle of summer. And where we go through and pick as many watermelons as we can and get those out to food pantries across the state. And then we do what we call a yam jam in the fall with sweet potato harvesting. So that's all part of our gleaning program, where we go through the fields of farmers after they pick their first best product that they want to sell. And the rest of it they would typically just leave in the field or till under if it's not worth it for them to go through and pick it. They let us get some volunteers to go through and pick that and donate it and put it to good use. So if you're interested in getting involved with either of those programs, you can contact the Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance at 501-399-9999.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Again, you're listening to Speak Up Arkansas. You can give us a call and be a part of this conversation at 501-433-0088. For those shy persons who don't like to talk, I'm going to check my computer. Maybe you can give me an email with a question at speakupar@gmail.com. I think we're going to take a little short break here. We'll be back. And thank you for listening. Give us a few minutes, and we will be back with you on Speak Up Arkansas. Thank you. Good evening. This is Speak Up Arkansas. You're listening to KABF 88.3. And we're talking about backyard gardening, community gardening, and just the whole benefits of taking advantage of the spring. We have a caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, I got three questions for you. On your garden box, you talk about what's the depth of that garden box? I can know it be any size.
The depth of a garden box.
I usually make sure they're at least a foot, but 18 inches is better, particularly if you're going to grow something like potatoes or carrots.
Yeah, all right.
Could you turn off your radio? That may be getting a little feedback here.
Yes, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
All right, and how about compost? Is that good or bad for a garden? I mean, can you grow it? How about compost?
Compost is a very good source of nutrient, makes sure if it's properly composted. But I always like to add some other inorganic medium, such as sand or regular soil. I think straight compost will have a potential to burning your plants being too high in salts and nutrients.
Yeah, and it may not provide everything you need. Plants need a variety of nutrients, and, you know, like, I couldn't figure out why my root crops weren't growing a few years ago. I put plenty of compost on them, but it turned out they were lacking in boron. Mm-hmm. So it's worthwhile to get a good soil test to find out about some of those other nutrients. And boron, for example, is easy to get. You got to put it on the right amount, of course, but you can get that from Mule Team Borax, you know, the old Mule Team Borax. That's what I put on my garden to provide boron. So to rely completely on compost, it probably won't get everything it needs unless those things naturally occur in your soil.
That's a common problem, particularly when you have nice compost and you're putting a lot of nitrogen on there. Mm-hmm. Nitrogen really pushes to boron deficiencies.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go back to the boxes. We at Promise Garden have been good at getting boxes and carrying around to the different gardens where other either the neighbors or whoever in the city. We're having all kinds of containers where you may be in a wheelchair and it's just tall enough, and we'll help you know how to fill the bottom with leaves of other kind of stuff, and then start your soil up on top, and you know how to, and then that way someone in a wheelchair can easily work in the garden. Then you can have it where it's low to the ground, and it don't have to be so tall.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up.
All right, the listener's off the air, but I'm sure he's listening. Yeah. Any other comments about that?
Well, just one thing about containers, which I don't have a lot of experience in, but I have learned, and that one, you're going to have to water them a whole lot than if they're in the ground. And number two, with that constant watering, the nutrients are going to leach out. And so you're going to have to fertilize more often. And also, too, they're going to heat up a lot, especially if you've got them in plastic containers. The boxes Ben's talking about are really nice wooden boxes. But so all those things you do have to bear in mind if you're doing container gardening. It's a different thing.
But a smart way to me, and a recycling way, is mm-hmm. to, you know, if you get a milk jug and put the mouth of it down in the soil, mm-hmm. and let the water seep out, and the way you have some leaves and things around, you can kind of reserve mm-hmm. the water around. So I think the watering, yes, is a problem, but we're learning to how to beat that system too. So don't let it discourage you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And avoid using treated lumber.
Yes. They are supposed to last longer, but they'll kill the plants.
They'll leach, and if it doesn't kill the plants, a lot of the things that are not very healthy for you will be leached out, and the plants will take them up and be put into the fruit.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. One thing we were just talking about during the break is ways that people who are proficient in gardening can perhaps help other people who would like to learn to garden, either for themselves or if they're entertaining the idea of being a small-scale commercial grower. And we've been talking about that. I know recently Bo and I just talked about that, that his organization has some interest in doing that. And I don't know if anybody's formally yet come together and figured out a way to do it. And that's, mentoring is an important thing because it's a longer term relationship. There, oftentimes there's some great workshops that spring up about gardening about this time of year, but you can't learn anything. I mean, you can't learn what to, all you need to know. It needs to be an ongoing relationship between the novice gardener and the experienced gardener, because a zillion things are going to come up and you need somebody to turn to all the time about so many things. And so Vic, on that note, is going to share some things about the Master Gardener.
Well, the Master Gardener program at the University of Arkansas Cooperative Extension Service was started, most of you know, Janet Carson. And Janet has been around since the 80s in terms of the Master Gardener program. And it is a way to learn about gardening. And it's, I call it a holistic approach, because you not only approach in terms of gardening for food, but gardening for ornamentals, landscape gardening, trees, fruits, vegetables, those kinds of things. And it's really where you learn from gardeners who have experience. You're required to take so many classes before you get your Master Gardener certification, and also required to take some continuing education credits every year. So it gets you into that mode of learning, learning from the best. I have given lectures in different locations on soils and soil health and those kinds of things, which are very important. And you know, as a kid, you know, we did not concern ourselves with soil health. We just, you know, plowed everything up and laid out the rows and planned a garden. Right now, soil health is a big issue across the country, and making, in terms of when we think about sustainability, is being able to keep that soil health going. We talk about not needing a tiller. Sometimes the improper use of a tiller is worse on soil health than anything else. A good fork or a good shovel, particularly on a small garden plot, is the best thing you can do.
Uh-huh. Oh, I want to put in a plug for shoveling. I'd say that is my most favorite full body form of exercise. And so, I mean, truly, I despise a fitness center. I've tried it, and I always wind up canceling my membership. But I would much rather just do some strenuous physical labor. It's really a good thing. You feel great. You feel invigorated. You feel in contact. You feel in contact with your own body, number one, not to mention the dirt and everything, the elements. But it is a way to stay healthy. If you're out there moving around, not sitting down on the sofa, you're going to be a healthier person, and it's going to be a way for you to kind of let go of the concerns of the day and just appreciate the spot you're in at the time. So,
all right.
Anyway,
if there's any more gardening testimonials out there, you got the Amen Corner here. We'd love to hear from you, and because we really are trying to encourage people to think about it, just take a step in that direction. You don't have to take a membership. You just have to, go buy a bag of seed and find a place in the sun and plant it, and have people see what happens. You may learn from that it isn't the right place or whatever. I know, read the directions on the back of the package first. But anyway, I don't want to make it too simple, but I don't want to discourage people from trying.
Right. And on that note, as far as, you know, it brings to mind, a lot of people say, well, I don't know why it didn't come up or it died. And really, I think one of the most critical things I was taught that I pay attention to all the time, not only the soil, the air temperature and the soil temperature. If you don't understand the requirements of a particular vegetable or that you're wanting to grow, and you just because it's a warm spell in early, you know, in late February, and you're going to go ahead and, wow, it's been so warm, I think I could just go ahead and put my tomatoes out, or sow some corn or whatever. Well, it ain't going to work. It just won't. And so those things are good basic things. And now with the internet, if you have access to a computer, you can be checking out the soil temperature and air temperature requirements. And that also applies. Soil temperature is critical. You're going to say, I'm going to start some seeds in a flat on this table right here. Well, you know, if it's hot, your lettuce or your spinach seed isn't going to come up. And if it's chilly, I mean, it's got to be more than room temperature, in fact, probably for okra or zucchini seed to come up. So, you know, one of my favorite tools is a little handy-dandy soil thermometer. I mean, that'll tell you what you need to know. So anyway, there are just some particulars about that. More people kill their plants by overwatering than underwatering because there needs to be some airspace in that soil there. You're going to drown them. And one of the best things I learned was if you want to know if your plants need water, you stick your hand down in the dirt a few inches and get a handful. If it falls apart, they probably need to be watered. If it's about to fall apart, you better probably do it in the next day or so. But if it clumps together, that soil probably has enough moisture at that time for the plant. So, I mean, that's what I go by. It seems to work pretty well. So it's just that. It's good to know what you need to know. You don't need to know everything, but you need to be aware of what you need to know. And that'll be a big help.
And on that note, I like to say that that's why it's good to be into the community garden. Because you always, you know, you're talking about buying seeds. We always have seeds that we can share with you. We always can show you how to take a basil leaf, a little piece off of a basil, put it in some water, let it root, and you still got time to make a nice basil plant. And it's just so many ways to make a tomato root, and so you can get a tomato plant. So it's so you can afford it. And it's different ways when you come to the garden, and all of us smiling faces around. And if we're not smiling, we got some knowledge about gardening and about how to share our knowledge. And how, you know, you talk about the space around your house. You know, it's just, I seen some little kids the other day. They're had got so interested in the garden till they had little cups, and they had filled it with just soil. And I went by the other day, and I seen their little plants was up, and they was, you know, they had watered them. So it's just, it could be take just maybe just a little corner of the house, just a little small spot that don't take away from your landscaping. You can put a tomato into your flower bed, a pepper plant, and some, bring a little color in there, a little. So I think it's us all binding together with our knowledge, and I think we can really help you get going with gardening.
The space requirements are so minimal. A 4x4 by 4x4 bed would give anybody as many tomatoes and squash as they want all summer long. The keeping production, keeping things going, and being able, if you are so inclined, you can buy different kinds of media to fill that bed if you don't have any kind of soil. I've used several different kinds of media, you know, combination compost and topsoil and different things. But there's a lot of different things you can add to media if you just really don't want to even do that. Just go buy a bag of potting soil, put out there, and it's no diseases in there, so you don't have to worry about diseases in there. And it really will work, particularly for things that people really like, tomatoes and peppers and those kinds of things. And with a small garden, too, you can do the Native American method of the three sisters. You grow your corn, and then you grow your squash, and you grow your beans. And each one will climb up the corn as the corn gets more mature. And you can have a traditional garden. You don't even have to have a trellis for your pole beans.
All right.
Well, we found out in just the regular neighborhood, we put out some cucumbers. We had a little tree growing there, and the cucumbers grew up. And we found out the neighbors would come out just walking down the sidewalk and get a cucumber, and how valuable it was into people who was just racing to see, oh, is it just almost big enough now? So it's pretty good.
All right. Well, you're listening to Speak Up Arkansas. We're talking about gardening, and you can give us a call here at 501-433-0088. We've got Alex from the Hunger Relief Alliance, Nancy Doctor with Great Day Natural Produce, Vic Ford from the UA Division of Agriculture and Cooperative Extension, and Ben Hood, a neighborhood activist, it sounds like, as well as and very active in the Promise Garden. So give us a call, 433-0088.
I wanted to put in a plug for a resource from U of A, which is a garden calendar. Month by month, you can download it from, and Vic can help out on this, but I'm sentimentally attached to my garden calendar. I've taped it together. It's got dirt all over it. I refer to that thing still. You know, what can you grow this month? And it is very helpful, and it's zoned by what part of the state you live in. Interestingly, this part of the state is zone A, which is as hot as the southern part of the state. And I'm convinced, actually, my backyard is the hottest spot in zone A. But it is interesting. I'm not sure the topographical reasons for that. But, you know, anyway, it's a pretty hot spot here right in the middle of the state. But anyway, that's a very helpful thing that will tell you, answer those questions for you.
And the website is uaex.edu. And just type in garden calendar, and it will take you in the search right to the site where you can download that and just print out off on your printer. The other thing that I'm sort of proud of is that in the last year we've hired two horticulture. One's a pest management specialist, and one is a production horticulturist. And they're right now very busy in the strawberries. Right now, what they're working on right now. And both these young women with their doctorate degrees and full faculty rights are working right now in sustainable issues. Both of them are expert in sustainable issues. And they really talk about what works and what don't work, what's a good way to do this. They're very good. In fact, I'm not for sure if it's been released yet, but we just finished a tomato app. And you can go to the webpage and look at it, and it has pictures of the diseases. And then when you click on that, it will tell you what to do. And it will have, if you're a commercial grower, if you're a home grower, if you want to go organic. And it have both insects and diseases there. So right. So we're starting that as the first one, but we're right now, I can't remember if we just released it or it's getting ready to be released.
I see. So potato, tomato apps, and
tomato.
They're not edible, but they help.
Well, they're not edible, but they help. The application, all right, it doesn't matter what platform you got. It works on an iPad, any other tablet or phone, yep. Or even on your computer.
Right.
Well, I've been seeing Ben Harrison showing how to collect lettuce, mm-hmm. lettuce in with just a regular leaf machine. Mm-hmm. So it was just very interesting how we – all of us garden, know each other, and just to see what different ones is coming up with. And when we meet together, it's just good to see recognize what strength Nancy has. When I went out and seen her beautiful place and how she just got it made, the designs and what work and how it's going to yield fruits, because she's concerned about how much money can you make out of that garden. So it's just gardeners is just unique. So good to know us.
That's Ben Hood with the Promise Garden, that's located at 12th and Peyton right here in Little Rock. We have a caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a question about the importance of permaculture. Can your guest speak to that?
I see one head nodding. Go for it, Vic.
Well, one of the permaculture is what we're using is perennial plants that will produce food for periods. A great example would be blueberries or blackberries or something that's continual through there in terms of a permanent cover for producing. There are a lot of vegetables and fruits there that will really work for that. And that's one of those specialized things that we just don't quite understand a lot of the things we need to know about.
If you'd like to make a call, please.
He's already called. He's now listening. Go ahead, Vic.
The permaculture. One of the things that we're doing right now, research I started several years ago, is looking at a permaculture in a landscape setting where we had working with the largest Native American fruit. Does anybody know what that is? It's the pawpaw.
Oh.
And I have got some commercial varieties out there. I've been working a little bit with Kentucky State University, who's the National Pawpaw Repository. And Louisiana State had been working for that as a landscape plant because it's a very pretty small tree. It would fit in most flower beds, and it produces a fruit. It's kind of cross between a mango and a banana. My parents do not like them because they have, the wild ones have a very distinct aftertaste, and they did not like that. But some folks do like the aftertaste. But some of them have been selected to have an aftertaste like a mango. So in terms of permaculture, there's lots of things like that we're looking into that I call the edible landscape. Uh-huh. That we can have. Plums in the front yard. There's several varieties of peaches that will work. There's different fruits that we can put up. Blueberries is one I mentioned. If you think about blueberries, you have to watch for the soil pH, but those are kinds of things that you can grow to have a permanent culture. Looks nice in your front yard, looks nice in your backyard, but you have an edible landscape.
On a related note, Vic was mentioning small trees, and you know, it's getting hotter and hotter, it seems, and the summers are just, that's when people just, so the crops and the people fade. And for small-scale gardeners, or even somebody who's larger scale, you can think about integrating small trees into your garden space, especially those that aren't super dense in their how they're formed, and that they cast some filtered light. And you can think strategically about, well, what do I want that to shade in the afternoon? So there are a lot of crops and also vegetables and flowers too, especially some beautiful flowers we really can't grow here. They're just going to fry come June or July. But if they have a break, it's amazing the difference they can, in the shade, and they can make it through. So that's a nice thing, and it just adds so much beauty to your garden too. You can have a mix of, you know, perennials, vegetables, trees. I just think it's a lovely way to go.
Another perennial plant I'm thinking right now is asparagus.
Ooh.
And it's relatively easy to grow. It's just a booger to weed, but it's particularly Bermuda grass. But it is one of the easiest crops that you can plant and have a continual steady supply of asparagus. It's one of the things we did in tunnel houses, and actually even grew you can go to a fancy restaurant and get one that's actually bleached out and white. All you do is keep the sunlight from it, and it was very good.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
I got a question about some apple trees.
All right. We got the apple man there. Go ahead.
All right. My trees bloomed, and right around the end of the limbs where the blooms were, the two or three leaves that's right there has turned brown, dried up, the blooms is dried up, and it did not put on any apples.
Has it done apples before?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, last year it was a bumper crop on them.
All right.
What you have, sir, is what's called fire blight. It's caused by a bacteria. And it's actually spread around by the bees. So when it comes and pollinates your apple, what you need to do to have apples, it's also spreading the bacteria. And some years are worse than others. Some varieties are worse than others. I don't know what kind of variety you have, and I don't know the conditions there. There's a couple of things that you can do as those fall off, is rake them up and make sure you have good sanitation so it won't ooze out from there. The other thing it will do is that if next year they make an antibiotic called streptomycin sulfate, which will help prevent fire blight from getting your tree, sir. But that's a couple of things. It's a common apple disease, and that's one of the things that really kept the Bartlett pear industry from coming into the South, is because pears are really susceptible to fire blight.
Okay. Thank you for the calls, and we still have a few minutes left. If somebody else has a question, you can tell by the answers that we've got some good people around the table, and we'd love to hear from you. 501-433-0088.
Yeah, this is Alex from the Hunger Relief Alliance, and that gentleman reminded me, you know, if you do get a bumper crop, and your friends and neighbors are sick of getting all your extra tomatoes or apples, we'd love for you to donate them to a food pantry so that folks that have a hard time, you know, affording healthy, fresh food can also get some of that as well. And so If you'd like to figure out how to grow some extra food or donate some to the Hunger Relief Alliance, you can call us at 501-399-9999.
And Vic, would you give another number for people to call the Cooperative Extension? Is there a...
There's actually a switchboard, and each county has an office in it, and there's at least one agent, and most of the time a two, usually an agriculture agent and a family and consumer science agent. And the number here in Little Rock is, 671-2301, and that gets you the state office, and that will be able to, you'll be able to get you to what county you want to talk to. And I don't have the Pulaski County number in front of me, but I will look it up here on my cell phone in a minute.
Okay.
And those are what you get, you some local advice from there. But really, these folks, and if about any kind of problems you've got in terms of yards and vegetables, that kind of thing, they're the folks to call.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. Yes, sir. I'd just like to interject something. I have used an irrigation technique for a number of years, you know, out in California, places out there, you know, water is very, very scarce. And so they have to use it, you know, wisely to be able to produce crops. There's a place called dripworks.com, D-R-I-P-W-O-R-K-S. I've got a catalog from them. I ordered various types of irrigation devices, or really little nozzles that they put out so many like gallons per hour or something like that, and depending on which vegetable that I'm growing, you know, I water them a little bit different. And but I have a timer, and when it was so hot here and so everybody else's garden was just burning up, I set my timer to come on about 4:30 in the morning for like 2 hours, and it wasn't but maybe 100, 150 gallons of water. And then in the evening, after the sun was setting, you know, like 7 o'clock, 7:30, to come back on again and put some more moisture in the soil if the plants were heat stressed. It worked very, very well, and the timer was electronic. I think it took two AA batteries, and it worked just flawlessly. And I got it on the Internet, and it was about $30. So that and those irrigation tubing and those little drip irrigators do a lot with that. And then also for people that are busy and working and things like that and can't get the water, that way you can set it up and do the proper amount of water. You can vary the amount of time that's on, if you're getting too much or not enough, and that sort of thing. And I'll hang up now.
All right. Well, thank you for that information. I see a lot of heads nodding. That's really something, particularly when you talk about the summers here in Arkansas. Thank you for calling in.
I've got the number for the Pulaski County Cooperative Extension Service office, and their office is on 2901 West Roosevelt Road here in Little Rock, and the number is 340-6650.
All right. Well, I want to thank all of the guests. We're wrapping up the show. Again, Alex Handfinger from Hunger Relief Alliance, Nancy Docker with Great Day Natural Produce, Vic Ford with the UA Division of Agriculture and Cooperative Extension, and Ben Hood, a gardener and member of the Promise Garden in Arkansas. Yes.
I just wanted to add, I don't know if any of us mentioned that the Promise Garden is at 12th Street and Peyton. That's, if you want to go by and check it out, that's where it is.
Right. All right. Well, thank all of you all for being here. We got good calls. We got a lot of information out. Next week, we're going to be talking about the state's education system, particularly concerns about the, I guess you call it the educational achievement gap between students who are having a harder time than others, and what's being done from... We'll be talking everything from home visiting programs, hippie programs, preschool, after school and summer programs. It will be very informative. And I want to thank you again for spending your evening with us. And we'll be back next week. You're listening to KABF 88.3 Speak Up Arkansas. We'll see you next week on the radio. Thank you.
Hi, this is Alanis Morissette, and you're listening to KABF 88.3 in Little Rock, the voice of the people.
It's time for Radio Cals, a weekly program from the Central Arkansas Library System. Every Wednesday from 6 to 6:30 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 FM, we will share with you conversations with interesting Arkansans on primary sources, Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, interviews with some of your favorite musical artists on Arkansas Sounds, content from the Butler Center's collections, information about what's happening in the library system, and much, much more. We invite you to let us know what else you want to hear by contacting us at radiocals@cals.org. This program is presented by the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies and the CALS Communications and Public Relations Department. For more information about Radio CALS, including links to resources mentioned in our segments, please visit the Butler Center's blog at butlercenter.org.